Well, if you haven't figured out, my voice is not cooperating totally. So I am going to do my best to get through this. I think we're okay. You may hear the sniffles or a little cough or whatnot, but Carter and I were mowing the grass Wednesday, and I hit a pile in the dog pen that was just dust galore, tried to get out of it quickly, and I told Presti, I said, this is probably the fifth worst allergy problem I've had in my entire life. And it has just, it's escalated. And, you know, I could have looked at it and said, you know what, I don't need to be there Sunday night, but all it is allergies and a little bit of a cold. Not feeling the greatest, but then why not be here? So I'm not contaminated or anything like that, but I just want to share something with you tonight, okay? So, most of you have had me as a teacher and instructor before, so I want to tell you, about a month ago, Travis, I was out in the lobby there, and Travis said, hey, would you preach for me on Sunday morning? Today's the 26th, isn't it? The 26th of July. And I looked at him, and I said, well, I tell you what, I am honored, and I really appreciate you asking me, but have you got anybody for Sunday night? And he said, well, no. And I said, I'll take Sunday night. And here's the reason. To me, there's just, and it is a psychological thing, it's just a little bit different standing up there versus down here. Now, Jim, Bill, if you two want to move, I'll move my podium back up over there and I'll go over here, because as a teacher and instructor with the military, I go all over the place, but I'm not going to do that tonight, okay? But he asked me to do that. And I said, sure, I'll help out. And I think he's coming back soon. What? Do we know when Travis and family's coming back? Is it tomorrow? Okay, good. All right. Very good. Very good. So, so we'll get started with that. But wanted to recognize Brother Tom is with us tonight. Brother Tom, glad to see you. Glad you made it this evening. It's been a while, but glad you're feeling good enough to be here. So thank you for being here tonight. So, folks, if you get a chance tonight, on your way out, stop by and see Brother Tom and say hello to him, okay? All right. I had to bring me some water up because my mouth is extremely dry. And somebody said, how long are you preaching tonight? I said, well, I'm not preaching. I'm teaching. I'm an instructor. That's the difference I look at it. Travis, Danny Morris, I consider them preachers. They did that for a living, do that for a living. I haven't elevated myself up there yet, feeling that comfortable to be up there, okay? But maybe some other day, but I like down here, to be honest with you, okay? All right, let me make sure I've got my slides on, get this thing turned on. Good, there's my first slide, and that is correct. Okay? All right. Tonight, I don't know whether we're going to go 5 minutes or an hour and 5 minutes. When you're taking some medications and stuff, sometimes time just doesn't register. But we're going to walk through this. And Travis said, listen, if the sun goes down and comes back up again, he said, you're probably speaking too long. So I said, I'll keep that in mind. And also, if I put a lozenge in my throat, that's to help me, because you can hear my voice, how raspy it sounds, okay? All right, so getting in with the lesson tonight. If you were going to talk to someone about Jesus, where would you start? Now, again, I say this is just a big classroom to me. I've been in a classroom much bigger than this with the military instructing. But so I want to, you are more than welcome, raise your hand and let me know what you think. But I want to ask you, if you were going to talk to somebody about Jesus, where would be the first thing that you start? What would you start with? Just anybody. Yes, sir. The what?
The fall.
Oh, okay, the fall of Christ. Okay. Okay, all right, all right. Now this person, this could be a co-worker, a family member, it could be a complete stranger, okay? Might even be somebody here at church that is visiting or has been here a few times. And they come up to you and say, tell me more about Jesus, okay? Bill. With what?
Where they're at.
Thank you. My ears are stopped up too. where they're at. That is a good lead-in. Well, person, tell me, what do you know about Jesus? What do you know about God? What are you asking? Okay? Because you know, if you sit down with somebody on that, you can spend hours and hours and hours, okay, talking to them, giving them information. Okay? So if you're going to talk to somebody, and this, you know, you may have had that happen, where somebody has come up to you, again, maybe a coworker, somebody that you know from school, you know, college days, anywhere, that might say, tell me a little bit more about Jesus. Okay? And hopefully you'll feel confident enough that you can say, well, yeah, let's go sit down and talk. Okay? Well, what event, so I want to ask you this, what event got your attention about Jesus? Okay? Think just a second. Look back, and I look back to my childhood, okay? And if you remember back in those Sunday school days and hearing about the stories of Jesus, what event just really went, wow, was an eye-opener, okay? Mine was Jesus walking on water, okay? Jesus walking on water. That's where I think I remember going, wow, that's a special individual, somebody that walked on water, okay? Went to high school with the guy that lived behind me. He and his brother were excellent football players, okay? Great athletes. The older brother, who was about 2 years older than me, during the wintertime, we were down at my house, and we had a little spot there on the side of our pasture that the water would freeze whenever there come a rain, and then it would freeze. And I remember Jeff saying, I bet I can run across that and not get wet, okay? Now, the water was probably only a foot, probably no more than 18 inches deep below the surface of the ice. He went out in the pasture, went around, and we're standing in the yard watching, myself and his brother, and he started and he ran across that ice so fast, putting his feet down, not getting wet, and got to the other side, okay? I don't think that's quite the same as walking on water, but that made an impression on me. That guy is fast. I mean, he can move his feet up and down, okay? So anybody else have early recollection about something that you remember from Jesus' lifetime that just really got your attention? Maybe a miracle? Maybe something happened? Anything? Yes, sir, Joel. Mm-hmm. Okay. At 12 years old. Impressive. Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I thought of that one also. Okay. Well, all right. Well, just like you and me, Jesus was like you and I, and Jesus was very much different. And that's what I'm going to look at tonight. And I'm going to put, you'll have some slides showing up, and it's going to show you some things. And what this is about, the next 3 months, starting in August, September, October, the Sunday morning classes, we're going to be looking at the life of Jesus, okay? More to come about that next week, okay? So try to be here next Sunday morning. You're going to get a lot more about that. But we're going to kind of do a pre-introduction to what's going to come up over the next quarter, okay? All right, so let me get my slides going on. Make sure I got it going. David said, all right, so Jesus' life. This is what you're going to see over the next several months. We're going to talk about things in Jesus' life. And tonight, I got to thinking about, okay, somebody says, tell me about Jesus. Somebody wants to know more. Where would you start? Now, Tom Langley, I don't think, is in here. I've been kind of interested now that I've retired, that I'd like to at some point go to Albania. And Pressy, when she retires, I said, that's a trip we need to do. We need to go to Albania and do the teaching, and I'd like to do that. And so before we go, because that's on my bucket list of making that happen, is finding out what's the steps, what's the process that WEI uses for getting information to somebody. How do they start with somebody that's either known about God, known about Christ, or somebody that says, I'm interested and I keep hearing this, my friends are coming, I want to know more. So where do they start with, okay? All right, so over the next 3 months, we're going to get a little taste of what's coming up over those next 3 months here in the next couple of slides, okay? So it's just some things to think about. Keep in mind, here's what my point is. It's going to be Jesus is special, okay? But Jesus is just like us. For me, that might be a starting point for somebody that I'm talking to, okay? I want you to know, Jesus is special. Son of God. Much more special than me, but he's also like you and I. And you'll see here in just a few minutes what I'm talking about, okay? All right, let me keep going here. We're going to get some insight into Jesus' life, some of the things that have taken place. And you're going to see that tonight, and you're also going to see that over the next several months. Okay? I don't want to try to give that too much information because you'll hear it, like I say, next Sunday morning. So try to be here next Sunday morning if you can. Let me get a sip of water. I'm getting dry. All right. The intersection in Jesus' ministry, some points I want to bring out, some things that I find interesting, okay? And these are going to go along to the next couple of slides. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus treated the physical and spiritual as deeply connected rather than mutually exclusive, okay? Bringing them together. We're going to see that. He frequently used physical everyday items as metaphors to teach profound spiritual truths. For example, he referenced wind to explain the movement of the Holy Spirit, water to symbolize spiritual renewal. Danny this morning talked about dogs. I don't know that I will think of a dog in any other way now, the emphasis he put on that. I was waiting for you, Danny, to say, you know, and maybe you did, maybe I just didn't catch it. It's often been said that a dog is a man's best friend. Right? So I'm not sure if you said that, but today's lesson I had never thought about the word dog being that many times in the Bible and some of the meanings behind it and some of the things that he said, okay? He used planted seeds to describe how the Word of God grows in people's hearts. Right? Talking about how planting the seed, nurturing it, you know, watering it, speaking of that, and then watching somebody grow, giving them the opportunity to grow, just as plants grow with sunshine and with water and with nurturing, keeping the weeds out. Okay? All right, so the next slide, here we go. This is the meat and potatoes of this lesson. Jesus is God's Son, but also fully human. That's another thing that I might mention to somebody. And saying, you know, you came to me and asking me to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to tell you about Jesus and God. First thing you need to understand and know is Jesus came from God. That's God's Son. Jesus is our Savior. Okay? And finding out a little bit of what they know. But Jesus is God's Son, and that makes him very, very special, unique, one of one. But he's also human, okay? And as I got older, I realized why Jesus needed to be human. It made a lot of sense, okay? All right, so here we go. Spiritual. Jesus is God's Son, but he's also fully human. One of the first things, and this is, like I said, this is just kind of my outline that I might use, okay, if given that opportunity. How is Jesus special? Okay? The other one is physical. So we're going to look at the two different, and then we're going to compare them also, okay? Under spiritual, born of a virgin, what a wow factor. Can there be anything that can top that other than risen from the dead? Okay? To somebody that's of age to understand, I would think would really have a big impact on someone. Jesus is so special and God's Son that he was born of a virgin, okay? I don't know of anybody in this world that was born of a virgin, okay? I do know that, you know, scientists and labs and things like that, being able to do things like that, but this makes Jesus special, okay? And again, folks, comments, questions, concerns, absolutely, feel free to chime in, okay? All right, so one is, tell that individual, born of a virgin, can't be topped. But you know what? Jesus is so special. Can I even get close to him? Can I connect? Well, guess what? Jesus wept. When Jesus wept, and if you want to turn to John chapter 11, just that one verse, verse 35, John 11, 35. I heard somebody in the foyer out there say, quote a scripture and you can get a piece of candy. And somebody said John, or said Jesus wept, okay? And looking at those two, you've got one that says Jesus was very, very special, and then the other one is that Jesus was like you and I. He wept, okay? Shortest verse in the Bible, those two words are very impactful. Very impactful, okay? In Matthew and Luke, that's where we get that account of Jesus weeping. He witnesses the deep grief of Lazarus' sisters. These two individuals made an impact on him. Jesus' weeping showed profound humanity or human empathy and compassion, even though he knew he was about to resurrect Lazarus. He knew he was going to resurrect Lazarus, but yet he still found it in his heart to be affected. And he wept, okay, even though he knew that. Oh, I'll take care of him. He's going to be good here in just a minute. That was not his attitude. He wept. Okay, so hey, new individual, Jesus was special, born of a virgin, but it was like you and I, he wept. Okay, so we're going to look at some more things like this. And we talked about the walking on water. Again, that was one of my favorites, okay? All right, moving on. Next, walking on that water. Again, seeing that individual that I grew up with do that and thinking, oh yeah, he did it. He had a little bit of trouble, okay? When Jesus did it, no indication that he sank, that he became nervous, it happened. So those two things, born of a virgin, walking on water, separate Jesus from you and I, okay? Very special. And then he wept. Next, Jesus slept and he rested, okay? If Jesus came from God, why does he need to sleep? Why does he need to rest? Well, it shows his human side, okay? He needs to recoup, okay? He needs to have nourishment to live like us, and that's part of the plan. In several instances, there was times where Jesus slept. Mark 4:38, Matthew 8:24, and Luke 8:23. Now, when Jesus did sleep, I'm going to assume it's probably like the rest of us. Sometimes he slept for a full maybe 8 to 10 hours, maybe when he was younger. But then as he got older, maybe he didn't need as much sleep, okay? But that is beside the point, to be honest with you. The fact is that he did the things that we do. That gives us that connection, okay? All right. Moving on. All right. He turned, and you may not be able to see that. I hope you can. He turned water to wine. And I've got the word chosen up there because in the series of Chosen, that scene was really, really special. What comes to mind? Mark, I'll let you think just a second, but I'm going to give you a chance to, that day that you and I talked in the back, if you've got something you'd like to comment on, feel free to do that here in a second. But so let me ask you. What about this miracle stands out? What comes to mind on this? Anything? Becky? Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. No. Get it, like that. This was Jesus' first miracle, if I'm not mistaken. Okay? First miracle. In the show, and I really liked the way this was done. I'm not making fun of it, but it, just the way it presented itself from seeing that. When Jesus' mother went up to him and said, hey, they don't have any wine, okay? I need you to take care of this, basically, okay? I can just see his mother going, now, Jesus, you be a good son and help these people. They've invited us to this wedding, okay? So, and if you watch that series, I found it very entertaining. But this part, his first miracle, Jesus did many miracles, okay? So that's, again, that individual. Hey, well, let me tell you, Jesus was so special, he was able to do miracles, many miracles. And there's several of them I can name and tell you what they are. But I'll tell you about his first one, okay? Mark, do you want to say anything about what we talked about back there, or do you want to save it? Okay, all right. Well, if you hadn't figured out, Mark's going to be one of the teachers coming up over the next 3 months. And he's got some really good information, some good things to make you think about, okay? So, Jesus turning the water to wine. I kind of feel like that Jesus probably didn't know that that was going to happen, but it was completely possible, and he just acted surprised. He went along with it, and he did it because he was asked as a guest to come to that. So probably wasn't expecting to do that, but that miracle set the stage for things to come, okay? All right. Any comments? Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, the best. Yes. In that series, The Chosen, I remember them talking about how that they just were head over heels with the taste of it and how it just made the host look very good. Okay? Was it Artan? Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. They obeyed him, and it became calm. Oh, yes. Can you imagine being one of those individuals on the ship and just seeing that? Oh, absolutely. That's, yes, very impressive. And again, another tribute to what Jesus did in his life, okay? Being able to see the miracles. All right. Let me back up just showing you, telling you about the most famous, he most famously slept in the stern of a boat during a fierce storm on the Sea of Galilee. And as Brother Tom alluded to, his favorite story was about that. But Jesus went to sleep, and then the storm arose, apparently. Okay? For any of you, the Navy, anybody in the Navy, okay? Roger, you probably been on a ship when it's tossing and turning, and maybe not the easiest way to sleep, but I know a couple cruises that we've been on, being able to get to bed at night and lying down and just feeling that rocking of the ship, how it would put you to sleep. Maybe that's what happened. Put Jesus to sleep, and then all of a sudden the storm came up, and what did he do? He took care of it, and he calmed the waters. Okay. All right, next, Jesus had compassion. Many instances in the Bible of where Jesus had compassion on someone. Somebody tell me an instant. Just give me a brief synopsis of what happened. Where did Jesus have compassion? Okay. Okay. All right. Yes. You know what? There's another characteristic there. I call that humble, being humble. Okay. All right. Compassion. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is very compelling when you think about that. When somebody is pointing their finger at you, putting their finger in your chest, accusing you of things that you know you didn't do, and yet being able to have compassion for them. Okay? God forgive them, they know not what they do. Okay? Very compassionate. Okay? Compassion, Jesus, okay, not just a feeling, but a driving force that moved him to action. It wasn't just a feeling, but it was a driving force that moved him to action. What about touching the outcast? In Mark, the first chapter, verse 40, he touched a leper. Okay? Lepers, from what I understand, are highly contagious. I worked in the medical career field. We had a thing called universal precautions. You assumed every patient that you worked with as having a disease that was contagious. Therefore, you took precautions. You didn't treat them without gloves. If you gave them a shot, you did not recap needles, okay, because you would wind up sticking yourself, and that happens, okay? But think about how Jesus touching a leper and somebody seeing that, thinking how, oh my goodness, what has this man done? Okay? So Jesus showing compassion is that human side. So this individual, I'm telling you that Jesus is special. Look at these things over here, okay? And then look at him as comparing him to myself. Okay? I can't compare myself to Jesus other than saying we're both human. Okay? He had that earthly mother, born of a virgin, earthly father. Okay? How about compassion when he restored a grieving widow's only son back to life in Luke? Okay? Only son. That's also very, very powerful. The only child being restored back to life. You know, you see these, and here recently, there was a big earthquake, and I cannot remember where it was. I want to say it was in South America somewhere, Venezuela. And you see this over time, and they pull people out of collapsed buildings. And that's, you know, that's hard to watch anyway, but when they pull out a young child, and in one instance, I saw an 18-month-old that was pulled out, okay? So Jesus had compassion. Think about how that lady felt when her son was revived and brought back to life. Again, okay, you and I couldn't have done that. Jesus is special, okay? He healed many individuals throughout the years that he was on the earth. He had the opportunity to do it, and he did it, okay? Sometimes didn't want people to know. Sometimes he did it with people watching, okay? Let's see, all right. Jesus showed love, and that's tied in with compassion also. Okay. He fed 5,000 people. Well, you know, McDonald's says they have fed I don't know how many billions. Jesus did it in one setting. And the materials that he had, what he did with that, okay, unprecedented. Okay. Well, that's special. Nobody could just have done that, but Jesus, you did that. Okay, that makes you special. All right. He required food and drink. Jesus frequently, and I had not thought about this until I started studying and doing a little research on this. Jesus frequently ate and drank to build relationships, teach lessons, and introduce the Last Supper. He used bread and wine to symbolize his body and blood. It's the part about the eating with somebody, okay? We do that today. We go with our families, especially during holidays, and we sit down in the tradition, and we sit down and eat, and think about how that brings us together, okay? And I remember doing that as a kid when we were growing up. Sunday afternoons after church, we were back at the house. Mama would fix a big lunch for us, and sometimes visitors would come over, and that was our time together, okay, to socialize. All right. We are almost a fifth of the way through with the lesson tonight. Okay? All right. Now, here's two points that maybe you can help me understand a little bit of this. Okay? The first one, Jesus knew the woman at the well, Jacob's well, the Samaritan woman, found in John, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through about 42. Jesus was tired because he journeyed. Okay? Walking through, and I can imagine being dusty, hot, ready to sit down and get something to drink. He met this lady and started talking to her. What did he do? What was he telling her? About her life. Okay, how did he know about her life? He was Jesus. There you go. Okay, he was Jesus. He told her that she had 5 husbands. In verse 29, she went back into town, and a man, she quoted, and I quote what was written in the Bible, a man told me everything I ever did. Okay? So here's an individual she's never met before, and all of a sudden, not only does he tell her she's had 5 husbands, he starts telling her things that probably was a big surprise to her, and she goes back and she tells other people, he knew everything about my life. Okay? In verse 42, it says, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Okay, so there's kind of a proclamation there that this man, he is the Savior of the world. There's acknowledgement about that. Okay? Now, here's this next one is the one that I want to talk just a second about, and I want to see if you ever thought about this. Okay? He goes to the well, and I'm fully convinced that he went to the well knowing what was going to happen, knowing that this lady was going to come up, okay? Knowing that he was going to talk to her, and he was going to be an influencer, okay? And I call Jesus the ultimate influencer, okay? We've got him in today's society, but nobody can top him. So he goes to the well, and he's prepared, and he starts saying things that, you know, quite frankly, probably just, you know, takes her aback a little bit, okay? Tells her a lot. The next one. Jesus is walking, and he's a crowd of people. Somebody touches his hem, and that's not H-I-M, but his hem, his garment. What does he ask? Okay? If somebody would turn to Luke chapter 8. If I can get one, it's just one verse. Luke chapter 8. Verse 45, Mark 5:30, and then Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. Okay, Luke 8:45. Who's got that? Yes, sir, Barry, go ahead. Okay, so in Luke's account, who is touching me? What about Mark 5:30? Okay. Yes, sir, Jerry.
At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes?
Who touched my clothes? Matthew 9, verses 20 through 22. Who's got that? Matthew 9, verses 20.
And behold, a woman who had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I shall be made well. Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And instantly, the woman was made well.
Made well. Okay. Here's the point I'm making with this. The woman at the well, he had all the information he needed. Okay, he had it up here. He was prepared to talk to her. Okay, and give her information and hopefully make a change in her life. When he was touched by the hem of his garment, he asked, who did that? Okay, I look at those two and I go, okay, is this a setup for us to try to figure out why would Jesus with the Samaritan woman, know all this information, but yet as he's walking and someone touches his hem, he doesn't know who that is. Anybody got a good point? Roy, help school me on that. Okay. Okay. I didn't want to say that because I wanted to not prompt anybody, but absolutely, I thought of that too. He knew, but he didn't. My reason, I didn't think about that. Didn't want to prompt that. But yes, sir, Joel. Yes. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Thank you. I appreciate that comment for those two. Okay. Mark asked who, and then Matthew did not ask who was there. Again, like Joel said, Jesus was tested by religious leaders who wanted to know if she should be stoned according to the law of Moses. Okay. All right. Kind of rounding this up, finishing up. Again, Jesus is God's son, but also fully human. Okay. Spiritual and the physical. All right, and here's a big one. We've talked about Jesus was born of a virgin, okay? Very powerful. That's a big wow statement. He ascended to heaven in Matthew 3:16, okay, after he was baptized, okay? Other instances in the Bible of individuals being baptized, but there was a reason for Jesus ascending to heaven, okay? So, that makes him special, and I believe that. He was also baptized, and we're commanded to be baptized, all right? So that brings us together. If baptism is good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me, and I think it's a requirement, okay? Any comments on that? Okay. Jesus prayed. How many times in the Bible have we read Jesus would go out to the wilderness or Jesus would pray, okay? I think that's a valuable lesson in the fact, again, Jesus was baptized, we get baptized. Jesus prayed, that's for us also to pray. That is an avenue that we have to God, okay? And I think it's very important in our lives to keep that in mind, okay? And if you want to say something about something I've already put up here, by all means, do that. All right, Jesus, physical. He was a carpenter by trade. He was a laborer. He worked. Okay? He wasn't above and beyond saying, "Well, wait a minute. You know, I fed 5,000. I've done this. I'm a miracle worker." None of that. Okay? He was humble enough, carpenter by trade and a laborer. He and I were I guess you call me an instructor by trade, a laborer. So when someone asks about that, again, I've got my notes ready to say Jesus completely different from us in this way, but yet he was like us. He walked in our shoes. He wanted us to know what it was like. Okay? Yes, Becky.
He's also the creator of the earth.
Say that again.
He's also the creator of the earth.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go. And creator of the earth. Okay? Another big fact. And this thing about the evolution with the way the earth was evolved, no, I don't believe that. I give credit to God, okay? And everything that's out there, God's got the credit. Years ago, I heard somebody say this when you might, for those of you that have a better remembering than I do of the 80s when Reagan was in office with the things, and then when Kennedy was in office too, the arms race and the threat of the nuclear destruction of the earth. And someone said, "Well, you know, I'm not really worried about that with the nuclear arms that's going on. He said, I don't believe that that's going to destroy the earth. God has said he will destroy the earth. So that's where I put my faith in the fact. Okay? So thinking of that and hearing that, no, it could do some damage and there could be some things and people may get killed unnecessarily, but God is in control and he will be the one that will render the time when this earth gets destroyed. Okay? All right, moving on. He understood the weight of physical suffering and sorrow. Okay, again, he showed sorrow, compassion, the things that he did. All right? He drew in the dirt. Now, this one I put on because of the fact I just liked that visual of Jesus standing around some individuals and talking. And instead of him putting his hands behind his back and kind of looking at you like the professor might in the college classroom and say to you, okay, well, here's the way it is. Jesus, to me, was on those individuals' level, okay? And then he bent down and he drew in the dirt. And I just see that as something like, I don't know, that maybe that's what I would do. And I thought, that's another human characteristic of Jesus, okay? So just put that up there also, food for thought. Again, any more comments? Okay. All right. He asked a lot of questions. A lot of times those questions couldn't be answered. He didn't ask them because he didn't know the answer. Why did he ask a lot of questions? To make us think. And to see. And you know, that's a lot of times, and I will say when I taught over at McGee Tyson, the groups that we had, we would often say something and intentionally not give the answer. It's kind of like your classroom, when you're standing in your classroom. You don't want to say, what's 2 + 2? And then you constantly have to say it's 4. I just told you a few minutes ago. You want to prompt the thinking of those individuals, okay? So I'm not going to tell you all the answers. I want you to think for yourself and demonstrate to me that you have that understanding, okay? All right. I need two more people. If one person will turn to Matthew 21, verses 12 and 14, and if somebody will turn to Mark 11, 15, and this will finish up our lesson. I'll give you just a second to do that. Joel, this is us, okay? So, yeah. Okay. Mark 11:15.
On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves.
Okay. Thank you. All right. This is going to pop up on the physical side. Okay. Jesus, what's going to pop up? Somebody tell me. What do you expect to see? Cleansing the temple, okay? Anybody else?
Righteous anger.
Ah, there we go, Joel. Okay. All right. Got angry. Now, you notice I put a question mark beside this, and I want to explain just a second. If you hadn't figured it out, Joel and I had a connection on this. We met Friday to go over something else that with genealogy, and then we got to ask him this question, got to talking about it. And I said, you know, Jesus demonstrated that he was separate from us, but yet there's a lot of things that I can say, well, I've been in that situation. Jesus knows. He understands. Okay? When I read these scriptures, and all throughout my childhood, even now in adulthood, I remember hearing about Jesus got angry. Okay? What I struggle with is, and Roy, you said that word, righteous anger, and I think Joel, didn't you say that too? Okay? To what degree did Jesus get angry? Okay? Reading this, I haven't picked up, because maybe I'm thinking of anger too strong of a word. Okay? I can push this over right now and not be angry. Maybe I thought of it like that with Jesus, okay? Or Jesus came in, righteous anger, showed the expressions on his face, his body language, and he got angry, okay? And then he turned those tables over. So I kind of, to me, I question that maybe to what extent. Was it a 1 on a level of 1 to 10, or was it a 10? Okay. Joel.
It was, 11.
It was an 11. Okay. So do you want to elaborate on that just a second?
He said himself, they turned his father's house into a den of thieves.
Okay.
Ultimate disrespect of God, of his father.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Enough standing up enough to say, stop. That's wrong what you're doing. Bill.
Mark 3:5 might be a better example.
Okay.
He's going to heal on the Sabbath, and he looks around at the religious leaders and says, ask them a question. What's better to do on the Sabbath, to heal or to kill? Save a life or to kill? And they wouldn't answer him, so he looks at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts.
Okay. All right. Danny. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you notice that Jesus is not mad or angry about something that's happening to him.
Yeah.
He's angry about something that's happening to
him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Thank y'all for that. Appreciate that. We got one more up there, and then we'll close the lesson for tonight. I told Joel this. A couple months ago, I saw somewhere where somebody went into AI, artificial intelligence, and said, show me what Jesus looked like going through the temple and then flipping over a table. Okay? Developed it, and then the picture was a picture of what you would think Jesus might look like, doing a somersault in the air, flipping over the table, okay? And that picture has stuck in my mind with that, okay? Yes, sir.
There are persons that are angry without sin.
I believe they can. As to what degree you take it, and that's where I think, too, and I've tried to do this, and I even mentioned it to Carter one time. I said, go to bed tonight, sleep on it, think on it, and get up tomorrow and see if you feel any different. And that instance in my life many, many years ago when I was a lot younger, and I said something to somebody, nothing bad, I just made myself look bad. And the next day I realized, boy, I shouldn't have said that, you know. And I went back and apologized to that individual, okay? But yes, but anger, we can let anger take it to the extreme that we do sin, absolutely. Okay? Yeah. Okay? All right. Any other comments before I go to the very last one? All right. Jesus is God's Son. We'll look at the spiritual side, the physical side, and then the last thing. What do you think the last thing is? He died. Okay? He died like we are. Okay? We have that ability to take our last breath and die. Okay? Jesus died for a reason, written in the Bible, and then he was resurrected. Okay? So when you look at the things that are spiritual about Jesus, yes, to this individual, I'm telling you, Jesus is very special. Here's the things that he did that you and I can't do, but yet, yes, he walked in our shoes. Okay? All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I do appreciate you being here tonight. I hope you've gotten something out of this. Tonight, the first day of the week, tonight, we're going to have a closing song, and the opportunity to come forward if you need to is going to be presented, and Sundays aren't necessarily always the time that you have to get baptized, okay? Got six other days that can take place, and it's a joyous occasion. But if you feel tonight that you need to come forward, you'd like to be baptized or have some prayer request, we would much appreciate it. You come right on up, and Mark, if you'll go ahead with that song. If you'll stand, let's join that last song. Thank you for being here. Mm-hmm.